Dov Metzia Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet. Heart attacks are not Dvarim. Heart attacks we normally think are passive things. They're things that happen to you. But sometimes we attack our hearts. Not that our hearts have a heart attack. Sometimes we attack our hearts. And worse than that, sometimes we attack other people's hearts. And there's the seriousness of that is something we'll be able to understand today with the help of a new friend. I discovered a new friend this morning. I'm so excited. He's a Moroccan friend from the 12th century, the time of the Rambam. And he lived in a little town outside Marrakesh in Morocco. And he was only discovered, published very, very, very recently, only just over 10 years ago, that we've had access to him. And through his work, we'll understand this Gemara with a slightly different angle that'll be rather important. The Mishnah starts off on Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet and says, "Kashem she'ona'a b'mekach u'memkar, kach ona'a b'dvarim." Just as you can have ona'a, this concept of exploitation in the area of commercial transactions, so you can have it in verbal transactions, in communication. You can have exploitation in communication, which is a natural flow from our work yesterday where we understood that there are two different things. There's the Isur of Onah, which is the spiritual side of it, the Torah, the halachic side of it, and then there's the commercial side of Mekach Ta'ut, of the possibility of being able to back out of the contract, which is the consequence of Onah. And yesterday we discussed these two different concepts, one a matter of commercial law and one a matter of the laws of Onah, or is the right to be able to cancel a contract or demand the part of the money back, is that a natural outflow, one of the aspects of ona'a itself? And once we understand that ona'a is not just a commercial issue, it's not just a quantitative thing about how much did you charge for the article. It's more than that. And you'll remember if we go back a couple of weeks into my introduction to ona'a, to the second half of Perek Hazov, we talked about the fact that the real problem with ona'a is how it makes the other person feel. That there's a problem of integrity and honesty, that's the commercial side. So he can recover, he can reclaim, there are things that you have to do to fix it. As we said yesterday, you've got to be metakenet ha'avla. You've got to correct the qualitative deficiency in the transaction. Just as sometimes you have to correct a quantitative deficiency, you have to correct a qualitative deficiency, and we learned that yesterday. But it goes more than contractual deficiency and commercial deficiency. It goes into the area, ona'a really is about the idea of ona'a is you make the other person feel worthless. That's how one feels when one feels exploited, when you feel taken. We talked about that Israeli word, feeling like a fryer. When you're taken advantage of, you feel worthless in the eyes of the other person. And it's that lies at the core of the Isur of Onah. That being the case, our Mishnah says then it's not just commercial. It so happens that there's a whole impact commercially and there's a consequence commercially, but it's not just a commercial concept in day-to-day communication between people. You can have ona'a as well. You can make somebody feel worthless. And that's the Isur of ona'a. Where do we learn it from? Let's go back to the psukim. So we have all these different psukim. There are five psukim in Sefer Vayikra, chapter 25, verse 14 to 18, deals with ona'a. And the first part is v'chitim kuru memkar la'amitecha kano miyad amitecha. If you sell or you buy something to or from your friend, al tonu ishet achiv. Don't cause ona'a one to the other. That's clearly commercial. But then the Torah repeats four sentences later, "V'lo tonu ishet amito v'yareta melokecha." Do not exploit one man his friend. You shall fear God, ki ani Hashem elokechem. And we learned that posuk again at the beginning of the laws when we did ona'a at the beginning, that I'm the God of both of you, and so on. On that is where we learn this whole area from. The Mishnah goes on, and so does the Gemara, to discuss examples of exploiting people verbally. Asking somebody for the price of an article when you have no intention of buying it. And it's not, you're not doing market research either. You're wandering in and you ask a price. So somebody has a moment of elation that he's about to do a sale and then an enormous disappointment. And in that disappointment, there is a feeling of worthlessness. When a salesperson is rejected, it's very hard for the salesperson to learn they haven't rejected me, they've rejected my product. But we've learned in these sugyas, we invest so much into our businesses, so much into our products, that when your product is rejected, it is something of you that is rejected. And there's enormous disappointment in the person. You can't just say to the salesperson, don't worry, they're not rejecting you, they're just rejecting your product. If he's a really good salesman, he and his product become one. If someone were to say to Steve Jobs in the early days, you know, as they did, this is a crazy idea, these Apple things. His identity was wrapped up with this. This wasn't just, okay, so you don't like my product, so buy Microsoft. That's not what it was. You're rejecting the very essence of who he is. So with Onah, we have to be very, very careful, even if it's something as simple as asking a price. Completely different situation. About tshuva, don't remind about tshuva of his early days. There's nothing untrue about it. It's, you don't do that. It causes a person to feel worthless. And then the Gemara goes on with many beautiful, very subtle examples of onat dvarim, of how you can exploit somebody in communication, not just in business. The Gemara goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo yitle einav al hamekach b'sha'a she'ein lo damim. Don't go into a store and admire an item when you can't afford it, you don't have the money to pay for it. Don't do that. Huh? You go into a Maserati store or a Ferrari store and you admire the Ferraris. Don't do that. Now, if it's the questions in halacha, if it's the way that things are done and everybody knows that people come in and out, sometimes a retail store is like a museum. People wander in and out just to see what the fashion is, what's out there, and people know that that's different. But if there's any way that you could be building up the hopes of the salesperson by being there when you have no intention of buying, that you can't do. That's on our dvarim. Sharei adavar masul lelev. Because this matter is in your heart. Only you can know, did you really intend to buy, but you changed your mind, or did you have no idea of buying? Only you can know that. V'chol davar ha-masul lelev ne'amar bo v'yareitem elokech. And that's why it says you shall fear God, because only you and Hashem know what your intention was there. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Mishmin Yochai, gadol onat dvarim onat mamon. Exploitation in communication is worse than commercial exploitation. It says you shall fear God. The one is just his money. The other is the person himself you're assaulting. In our last year on Bava Kama, we did this piece of Gemara as well, by the way. If you look back on Daf Kuf Yutes, I think it's the last Daf on Bava Kama, we referenced this piece of Gemara. Says Rashi, what's the sharei davar masul lelev? Ulufichach ne'amar bo v'yareitem elokecha. That's why it says you shall fear God. Hai sharei liten tam, lama ne'amar bo v'yareitem akatle. It brings this here to teach you why it says v'yareitem elokecha, thou shalt fear God. V'achikama, this is what it means. Sharei kol advarim halalu ein tovatan v'ra'atan musura la'akir ela libo shelose. If you walk up to somebody and you strike them, we know your intention is bad. If you take somebody's money or you cheat somebody in business, we know your intention is bad. But in these cases, it's so subtle and nuanced, nobody can know what your intention is except you and Hashem. And you're responsible, you're accountable to Hashem in this. He could say, my intention was good, but Hashem knows whether it was good or not. I did want to buy it. I thought I might buy a Ferrari. I was thinking of buying a Ferrari. It was crossing my mind. Maybe, come on. You know, and Hashem knows that's not what was going on. V'chol davar ha-masul lelev, says Rashi, shel adam, anything which is in a man's heart, ne'amar bo aviyarei min hayodea machshavot. Be aware and accountable to he who knows your thoughts. Im lo tova, im lo ona'ah, whether for tova or for ona'ah, for exploitation. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins, based on our Gemara 2, one of the cases here, yizar shelo lechanot shem ra lechavero, af al pi shuragil boto kinui. Don't call people by nicknames, even if they're accustomed to it. Everybody calls them by that nickname. Im kavanato levaisho, if there's any thought in your mind to be derogatory in that nickname. If you get any pleasure of denigrating that person by using the nickname, you're not allowed to do it. It's asr. Now, I've got a difficulty with this whole piece of Gemara the way we've learned it, and that's where my new friend comes in. I've got two difficulties. The one difficulty is, why are we calling this ona'a and why is it learned from the same psukim? I understand everything in the Gemara. It's beautiful how the expectations of the Torah, from the Torah of us, the expectations that we're careful, that we're refined, that we're mindful, that we don't mislead people in any way. Beautiful Gemara, I understand it completely. I understand the laws of ona'a completely. We've learned, we've gone through the sugyas, we understand ona'a. But why are they both the same? One is commercial exploitation, and one is saying something derogatory. One is that, this I understand, the Chofetz Chaim would paskin these halachas in Shmiras Haloshen, how you speak to somebody. This is about Musa. This is about ethics and about character. It's not about commerce. Ona'a in Perik HaZahav. This is the law, the Perik of business. This is finance. So I understand ona'a comes into it. But why have we spilt over into this Musar area of how you speak to people generally, where it has nothing to do with business? Why is it called ona'a? Call it something else and treat it somewhere else. And the second is Rabbi Loza's point, where Rabbi Loza says, she'ona'a tvarim is begufo. The difference is, why ona'a tvarim, why communication exploitation is worse than economic explanation? Because economic exploitation, you're just hurting somebody's bank account, which is serious enough, but it's just their bank account. But verbal exploitation, you're hurting the person himself or herself. That's something much more serious. But it's not begufo. You're not touching their body. If it was talking about you strike him, you hurt him, you beat him up, then I understand, saying this is gufo, this is mamono. But this isn't even gufo. You haven't touched his body. So those are two of the difficulties that I've had in the sugya. So my friend from Morocco is Reb Zacharia Agmati. Agmati is a little village just outside Marrakesh. And Rabbeinu Zacharia came from that village, 12th century, a long time ago. He was an important Rishon for many reasons. He was at the time of the Rambam, and he communicates with the Rambam, talks about the Rambam. And as I say, we didn't know about him other than by quotation until very recently. And what's really important about him is that he exposes an amazing Rishon that we only have quoted mainly in the Or Zarua, which is a 13th century Or Zarua, quotes Rabbeinu Boruch Berib Shmuel Me'eretz Yavan. Rabbeinu Boruch ben Shmuel from the land of Greece. And there are questions where he learned. He learned in Chaleb, in Iraq as well. An unbelievable Rishon, apparently with the power of language comparable to that of the Rambam. And we didn't have his work. A little quotes here and there, but not even in his words. Whereas this Sefer HaNer of Rabbeinu Zacharia quotes a lot of Rabbeinu Boruch. Because Sefer HaNer is like an old Shita Mekubetzes. It was one of the first anthologies. He doesn't give much of his own Torah. In Sefer HaNer, it's written on the Rif, because in North Africa at that time, they used to learn the Rif more than the Gemara. The Rif was their, Lahavdil was their art scroll of the time. Because they found the Gemara inaccessible, and the Rif was a summary of the Gemara. It was easy, it was short, it was quicker. They learned the Rif. Sometimes they didn't have editions of the Gemara. It was hard to get the Gemara. So they learned the Rif. And he wrote this as a perush on the Rif, but it's not really a perush, it's an anthology. And one of the important people that he brings a lot is Rabbeinu Boruch Berib Shmuel Meretz Yavan, who we've been craving to learn about and to know about. And until this was published, it was first published probably 20 years ago, but not in a very accessible form. The current form it was published was only 10 or 12 years ago. And he brings this Gemara, and he starts off Reish Beis Samach. That's Rabbeinu Boruch Asfardi is the way he calls him. So he starts off quoting Rabbeinu Boruch. Tanu Rabbonim b'sifro pashat b'hasinai lo tonu ishet amito v'yareitem elekech v'gemer bo'na advarim ha-katuv medaber ad Rabbi Yudomer af lo yitle in aval ha-mekach b'sha'a she'en lo damim, etc., etc. You shouldn't even look at the Ferrari if you don't want to buy the Ferrari. And he doesn't use the word Ferrari, by the way. Sharei davar masu lelevu v'chol davar she'masu lelev ne'emar bo v'yareitem elekech. It's our Gemara that is duplicated in the Sifri. Perush, it says the Perush is, Keshetole einav b'mekach, choshev bal mekach shelocho. V'kivan she'en lo damim eino locho. U'mitzta'er bal ha-mekach, sh'harei masar ha-davar libo. What is he saying here? Dovar Amosu Lelev is not talking about the exploiter. It's talking about the exploited. You're hurting his heart. You're disappointing him. And any damage you do to a person's heart, Hashem knows about. If you break his arm, we know about it, the court knows about it, the hospital knows about it, he knows about it, his family knows about it, everybody knows about it. If you steal his money, it eventually comes out, you go to jail, you're in court, it's in the newspapers, it's all over the internet, people get to know about it. But when you assault another person's heart, the only person who knows about it is the person you assaulted. Sometimes you don't even know about it. You did it mindlessly. You didn't even realize what you were saying. You went into a store and you said, how much is this thing? How much is this golden Rolex? And you have no intention of buying it. And you don't realize that for a moment the salesman thinks, I haven't had a sale for a week. This is my chance. And you have no intention of buying it. You're playing with his heart. And then you reject it and you walk out. He doesn't know you've walked out because you never intended to buy it. He thinks you don't like it. You don't like it. You don't like him. The price was wrong. He did something wrong in his sales technique. He lost the sale. And he goes into depression. You've attacked his heart, says Rabbeinu Baruch. Hadavar amosu lelev is not as Rashi learns it. Knowing what your... This is not about intentions. This is about outcome. We know what your intentions are, and you can know what your intentions are. You're not punished because you had bad intention. That's another difficulty with the sugya, by the way. We're punishing people for intentions, for thoughts, if they haven't actually done anything. Says Rabbeinu Baruch, you've shattered the man's heart. What do you mean you haven't done anything? Okay, but there's no physical damage. So he goes on to say, Kol otan dvarin, all this case in the sugya, ein bahen ela tzar halev. There's only heart disease here, heart attack. You're not causing any indebtedness. You're not causing any damages. So you see from the sugya of ona'ah, and now we understand why it's called ona'ah, because as we said, ona'ah also is not about the commercial damage. The commercial damage is dealt with mekachtos and all the things we discussed yesterday. The real problem with ona'ah is you've broken his heart for a moment. You've disappointed somebody. And you see that Alma Bata Tsar Halei Vazlinan, the law of Ona'ah, this Parsha in Vayikra, teaches us that we go after the Tsar Halei, the pain you've caused to the heart. And then he goes on, Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Gadol Ona'ah Dvarin V'chulu Perush Azil Sumka V'ati Chivra, because when you embarrass somebody, the color of their face changes. That's why shaming somebody is called whitening their face. Look at this, what he says now, my new friend from Morocco. When you embarrass somebody, when you shame somebody, his aura, his charisma is damaged. The energy that his face puts out is damaged. You don't feel the same brilliance. You don't seem the same vitality. He loses vitality for a moment when you disappoint somebody. The moment he loses that sale, he loses vitality. V'chein oseh ha-horeg, like a murderer. Shekivan shergo meshane dumuto. With murder, you do a physical damage. You change the appearance of a person. When he's dead, he doesn't look the same as when he's alive. When he was alive, he was a vibrant, living human being with all the force of life in him. And then you kill him and he's a corpse. Completely different. You make a corpse out of a person for a moment when you shame him. That's what shaming does. They lose a person when they feel shamed, loses their vitality for a moment, or sometimes longer than a moment. When you make a person feel worthless, you feel it in the energy they're projecting. They don't radiate the same energy. And that's like killing the person. If they're no longer radiating, a corpse is there. Everything's physically there. You can say, what did I do? His body is intact. But where's his energy? Where's the radiance? Where's the vibrance? That's gone. That's what murder is. You take the life force away. When you shame somebody, you also take an element of his life force away. And that's why this is so serious. That's why the Sefer Achinuch says also, Shu davar kasheh ma'od lelev habriot. The ona'ah dvarim is hard for the heart. So we see the Sefer Achinuch going along the lines of Rabbeinu Baruch. This is about the heart of the aggrieved person, the exploited person. I'm not talking about the intention of the damager. The intention, we don't punish for intention. We punish for results, and the results is heartbreak. And that's Masu. How do you know this heartbreak? You can't see it. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows this heartbreak. And that's why the Rambam paskens based on the Gemara on the next page, V'cholat so'ek mehunayat dvarim ne'eneh miyad she'ne'emar ki ani Hashem. When somebody cries out from his heart, from a broken heart, na'eneh miyad, he's immediately answered. When somebody says, I'm so angry with this person, Ribbono Shel Olam, punish this person, but the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to that. He reacts to that. As it says, Kol ha'sha'arim ninalu chutz mishare ona'a. All the gates are closed to davening, to tefillah sometimes, except the gates of ona'a. When a person has been shamed, when a person is made to feel worthless, whether through a commercial transaction or casual communication, that's something that damages the person's heart and gives him a power of tefillah that no other person can possibly have. And that can boomerang against one and cause one, chas v'sholom, so much damage. So just important that we understand how to take care of our hearts, and more important, how to take care of the hearts of the people around us, and how easily a heart is damaged. The person looks strong, like a corpse also looks strong, but it isn't. A person looks strong, but the heart is broken. A person looks strong, but they've lost vitality. A person looks confident, but they've lost self-confidence. They've lost the energy of life. And if we're responsible for that, that's included in Vayikra, in this Perek Chafei of Vayikra, with the laws of Ona'a, of damaging a person's sense of worth.